Narrative Frameworks 39. Rest in peace. R.I.P. Rest in peace. We see this written on gravestones. And when I see this, I feel sad, not for the death, but for the missed opportunity. This false idea that restfulness occurs when consciousness leaves the body. For a start, consciousness is peace. Ultimate consciousness is peace. And ultimate consciousness does not stop its journey upon the death of the physical body. It goes on. The journey continues. Consciousness is pure peace, and consciousness is in motion. Consciousness is in the silent, ever-present essence of being. This is the absolute consciousness, pure consciousness. To me, these are synonyms: absolute consciousness, pure consciousness. And consciousness is in the movement, the motion, the play. And if it gets lost in the movement, the motion, the play, if it forgets its pure peace, its totality, its absolute essence, then consciousness gets into the mode of unpeace, the mode of churning activity which never seems to stop. But perhaps we can remember the peaceful core, the hub of the wheel, whilst we are experiencing out in the spokes and the circumference of the turning wheel. So this phrase, rest in peace, this phrase is meant for life, not just in death. And you have phrases like, no rest for the wicked, as though our existence was just this wicked turning of being. No rest for the wicked. Well, what is wicked? If you look at, it's not just condemning something or someone for being bad, it's about not fully understanding principles of reality. So, no rest for the wicked is kind of saying, well, if you've misunderstood that you are the ultimate essence of peace in your lived experience, if you've misunderstood this, if you haven't integrated this absolute peace into your consciousness, into your awareness, then you will have no rest, because your identity will be locked into only that which moves, and only that which is constantly moving, the body, the mind. There is no rest here. There is no rest for somebody who is simply locked into the body and mind and believes themselves to be the body and mind primarily. There is no rest here. There's a duality of day and night, of activity and sleep, but it's a constant cycle. So in this sense, wicked is, you know, it's against the principles of life. And in this sense, it's bad, because all that is good is born out of the life principle. And in this life principle, when we come close to it and it comes close to us, there is restfulness, there is peace. This peace is not for another time, another place. This peace is for here and now. But so long as we are locked in only body, mind, time, space, existence, then time and space has us. And time and space is always shifting, always changing. So we need to understand, again, who we are. We need to see the nature of our being as beyond just the transitory and the passing. And then we're not telling a story of only time and space. We're telling a story of the Absolute. And the Absolute is telling a story of itself through time and space. So perhaps if you look at concepts like original sin, perhaps that is the moment of believing we are something, of the first moment of believing we are something other than pure consciousness, of believing we're something other than the Absolute, or of the Absolute fragmenting, consciousness fragmenting into parts and consciousness investing itself in various different parts. So this one consciousness investing itself in various different parts. Those parts become lost and locked into themselves to the point we think we're all different beings. Yeah, we are relatively, but ultimately we're all made of this one consciousness, which apparently the mind of God split apart into separation. And through that split, it moved from a state of being, of pure being, of pure consciousness, of pure awareness, again synonyms, the absolute, this state of being, just being as is, to doing. Because a part cannot not do. A part is in a world of other parts. And like I say, it's constantly moving, constantly shifting, constantly changing. So original sin is the moving from being to doing. Being just is, and doing is relational. The doer does in a world of the done. You know, it's like we're all constantly doing things. It's how we are in time and space in the world, and this is what the world's for doing things in order to understand who we are through our activity, to the point where our activity gradually stills back into peace. From peace, we spiral out into activity, far, far out into activity, and then we spiral back in to peace through the mechanism of understanding who we really are, through the frameworks in which we learn to understand who we are. We build ourselves away from peace. We come to this point of too much noise, of just a lack of peace, and too much noise to the point where we need to return to peace. And so we return to peace. We come back from doing to being, you know. And it starts with just creating space in our busy lives to rest for a minute, to breathe for to consciously breathe for a moment, to pause, to take a walk, to look at a landscape. So this original sin, this moving from being to doing, is essentially moving from non-dual awareness to dual awareness, from oneness to separation, from essence to experience, from stillness to activity, from silence to noise. And I'm not talking about from relative stillness to activity, I'm talking about from ultimate stillness to activity. And of course, in relative worlds, in the world itself, we have sort of cycles within cycles. We have stillness and activity, the duality of stillness and activity. But this comes from the non-dual pure stillness. We have the duality of silence and noise, but this comes from the non-dual pure silence. So within the dual, there is possibility, there is movement, there is learning, there is the play. And we shouldn't be too keen to separate the dual from the non-dual, because, again, it's a framework of an understanding, and our frameworks denote something more true. And that perhaps truer thing is that the non-dual and the dual are not separate, but the dual is the active principle, and the non-dual is the pure potential beyond active and passive. So the dual is, in one sense, the active principle, but it contains active and passive, and that is the action. You know, there's intense action, there's slow action, there's resting action, there's this active action and passive action. There's all these possibilities within the dual, but the non-dual is the pure potential before all of those are born, the pure being before original sin, before the splitting apart of that pureness into fragments, which you might label as impure because they don't include the wholeness of awareness within themselves. So we move from the non-dual to the dual. But we can align our actions to peace, our dualistic life expression. We can align our actions to peace. The peace that we came from, the peace that is our home, the peace that is the totality of the awareness that we may not quite see yet in our relative lives. We can act out of peace. I mean, what a phrase. We can act out of peace. We can act in peace, and we can act from peace, out of peace. We can act out of peace. That can mean two different things. It can mean we can act from peace, or it can mean we can act without peace, you know, outside of peace. So there's apparently infinite possibility available to us. The unmanifest pure potential, the infinite in that unmanifest pure potential form, gives birth to apparently infinite separate ways, routes, paths, possibilities. We can be the extension of the peace that we came from, or we can be something else. We can be connected to the principles of the life that we were born from, or we can be, apparently, if only to our own limitations, our own limited body or minds, we can be something else other than the peace that we came from. But this is all the journey of love, the absolute. So even if we believe that we're something different to that, eventually that belief will have to fade because it is not true. We are always, always peace. We are always the source. It's just our minds tell us that we are not, because our minds are fragmented. The one mind is fragmented, and as above, so below. We can rest in peace itself. This love we really are. This is the love we really are. And when we realize this, we come back to phrases like, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is essentially saying, love will exist in experience as it does in essence. Love will exist in manifest form on earth as it does in heaven, in unmanifest form as the source. And this phrase is saying, this is God's world. This world is the expression of God. And to me, God is pure awareness, pure consciousness, the absolute. I'm not talking about a particular delineated figure. I'm talking about the life principle, the consciousness from which all else is born and is made of. When we really look, when we really see at what life is, we see beyond the form, and we see this animating principle that is the source, that is life. So the source is not some thing from the past, distant place. The source is here and now. Because in the non-dual, history and geography collapse into the present moment. It's only in the dual, the dualistic world, the dualistic mindset, that we are separate and cast out from ourselves in different compartments of being, of identification and disidentification. But when we heal consciousness, we see we are the wholeness from which our limited experience was and is born. We are this wholeness. Life consciousness is key, and it's all in motion. When we realize life consciousness is key, we can rest in this life consciousness. We can rest in peace, here and now. And even stay rested and peaceful in the play of movement, because we realize that the play of movement is just an appearance. However real it seems to those entities which appear, i.e. our body-mind selves, we're appearing in consciousness and what we see appears real. And it is real on its own level. But for all that movement, for all that play, that is the moving of consciousness, of absolute consciousness, away from knowledge of itself and returning to knowledge of itself, that movement that is the movement of our lives, perhaps we can remember within it that we are always peace. We can rest in peace because we are peace. And even as we seem apparently locked into motion, apparently locked into circumstance, apparently locked into particular configurations of life? Can we open up our sense of self beyond the false boundaries that we impose upon it with our minds, to see that we are the wholeness of consciousness, whether in stillness or movement, because it's all happening now. There is only one thing happening. It is pure peace, and we are it. Whether we are choosing to express it in an image aligned with itself or unaligned with itself, we are all pure peace. Whether we are being quiet or noisy, we are all pure peace. Wherever we are in the duality, the essence remains, the truth remains. The essence is us, the truth is us. We are peace. We have the right to rest in peace, because we have the right to rest in ourselves. And this is more than a right. This is just life being itself. Us being ourselves. For there is nothing else to be but this love, eternally, in time and space, and forever, here and now.